Good morning. You sounded fantastic singing this morning. You sounded really good. We'll try to get you a record contract soon, but it really sounded great. We are pretty excited about what is our Unfinished. We just launched it last week. And Unfinished People and Unfinished Church and Unfinished Mission. Last week I had two amazing conversations. I talked to other people about what's happening in groups, the kind of conversations they had. It's actually going to influence what we talk about this morning. Before we jump in, we have some notes to pass out for you. If you brought your book, fantastic. If you happen to forget your book, we have notes for you to be able to follow along with what we're going to talk about today, as well as you'll be getting your icon, your trust icon. I think everyone gets a trust icon to go along with your water bottle, which if this is your first time with us, then you can pick this up on the way out. For those of you who already got one last week, then you can add that to it as well. For those of you who are joining us by streaming, it's great to have you guys with us. We want you to be able to really interact with it and get the most out of it. You can actually scan that QR code that's on the screen, and that will download the book for you. You can operate and see everything that we have going on in the book there. We also have, you can follow us online. You can use that QR code, which will take you to the website, which is the skylineunfinished.org, and you can follow up everything that we have with that piece as well. Looks like everybody's getting their pieces together. You got your notes. Good. Okay. So this is what we've been experiencing. A few people, or maybe quite a few people, super excited about what's going on. They're like, oh my goodness, this is great. I think God's really going to do something. This is great. All the way to the other spectrum, which is, I'm not so sure about this. I'm not so sure what's going on here. So I want you to jump in this with me. If on your notes there, or if you have your books, would you turn to page 9, My Spiritually Significant Moments. And as we talk about Unfinished, and last week we introduced these two cards, and the first one is the Time and Talent card. And so the Time and Talent card is all about us being able to pray, interact with God, engage with God, and be able to go, okay, God, how do you want me to give my time and my talent to God? What is it that you want me to do? Do you want me to step in deeper than where I am? Maybe I've never done this before. It's my first time. How do I interact with that? What I'd like you to do is put your emotion on this page, okay? So as we talk about Unfinished, put your emotion. If you're like, hey, I'm super excited, I feel really safe, I feel like, hey, great direction, awesome, jot that down. If you're like, I'm a little concerned, or a little bit skeptical, jot that down, all right? So I just mentioned before, but turn to page 16, which is our primary goal. And our primary goal is 100% engagement, that everybody gets involved and as a part of it. And this not only engage with each other, but be able to engage with God. We talk about that every week, for you to be able to connect with God and interact with that. So how's your emotions after that? We're talking about 100% engagement. We can do this. What do you mean? All of us can do this. It's just be engaged. Step into this. All right? Feel okay? All right. Now let's flip over to page 19, which is exercising our body. These are the secondary goals. Exercising our body, 800 hours of weekly ministry. I picked this up before, but I'll do it again. On Sunday, October 29th, we're going to, right here in church, all of us fill out these cards together. After you've engaged with God and be able to go, hey, yeah, this is what I want to be able to commit for 1 year of ministry. Okay? Now, let's flip over to the, you don't have to turn the page, but over on the next page, which is page 18, the secondary goal, which is $2 million. This is a financial goal. It says, equip our people for $1.4 million, eliminate our debt for $450,000, elevate our campus for $150,000. Now that we talk financial, which, by the way, that's what this card's about. Same thing, engage with God and then interact with making a commitment for the next 2 years. And by the way, we have something called Advanced Commitment Night. That's where if you want to jump on this early, you're in the crowd of, I'm excited about this, this is great, I want to lead out in that. We want to invite all of you to become a part, come and be a part of that. It's a pretty special night. I think you'll really enjoy it. But how does the financial one hit you? Do you go, oh, at this point, I got to put skeptical. At this point, I remember, quite frankly, for me, anytime anybody tries to sell me something, I'm skeptical. Like, I put the wall up, I'm like, uh-uh. I feel like you're going to try to get me to do something I'm going to regret. I'm not sure I can trust you. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, Pastor Chris thinks I should trust you. I don't. You see, trust is built or earned. It's not a should or ought to. It's built, it's something that you develop over time. You know what's really amazing? God does not come to you and go, you ought to or should trust me. He actually builds your trust. Let's take a look at that. We're going to go back to, that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's take a look at that. And we're going to go back first to this saying. God can do the impossible and will often call you to do the impractical. God can do the impossible, will often call you to do the impractical. In your books, turn to page 32. That's where we're keeping our notes. If you got the page out today, then you can follow along there. Jot that down. God can do the impossible, but will often call to do the impossible. We're going to go back to Abraham. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it kind of is a summary of the story we talked about last week. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. Remember, this was God saying, I'll do the impossible, but Abraham, I want you to do the impractical. So he said, he came to Abraham and says, I'm going to give you land, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to have you, you're going to be a blessing to the whole world. Now, Abraham was already 70 years old, 75 years old, and had no children. This was impossible, what God said he was going to do. But Abraham trusted him, left his family, and went to a place where God was going to show him. He didn't even know where that was. So that's a pretty big step of faith. That's in Genesis chapter 12. That happened. What we're going to look at next is what happened right after that big step of faith. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. I keep interchanging Abraham and Abram. He was called Abram first. Later, his name gets changed to Abraham. In Genesis 12, 11 through 13, it goes on to say, as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Do you understand what he did? He's going to this foreign land, and he's going to sell out his wife and say, to save his own neck. This is like something you might see on TikTok or YouTube Shorts, and you'd be like, does people really do that? Did that really happen? Did they just make that up? This is something Abraham did. Right after he did this great step of faith, now, Abraham, you can't trust the God of creation who promised you these three amazing things to take care of you in the land that he showed you and in Egypt. Isn't God stronger than the Pharaoh? What do we see by this? Well, actually, if you follow the life of Abraham, five major times he fails in his faith. The first one is this one. The next time is even worse. The next time, he still doesn't have a child. God's promised him the child. His wife comes to him and says, listen, maybe God wants you to use my handmaiden, Hagar. So why don't you go sleep with Hagar, have a child by her. She'll be our child, right? And that's how God will keep the promise. Guys, any of your wives ever do that? No. How do you think it worked out? Well, first of all, Hagar did get pregnant, had a child named Ishmael. And then Sarai got very, very jealous and began to pick on and abuse that Hagar and Ishmael, and they had to go away, which is his third failure. He did not lead his family. He let that happen, and he just acted like he was an innocent bystander. The next time is in Genesis 17. Genesis 17, God comes to him again and goes, you're going to have a child. Abraham just laughs in his face, in God's face. He's like, there's no way. I'm too old. And then in Genesis 20, if that's not enough, he does it all over again, leaves the land and tells his wife, hey, tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me. Doesn't trust God again. Now, how are you feeling about your faith at this point? I'm feeling comforted. Why? I've experienced this just like this. When I was 16 years old, God called me into the ministry. God called me to lead people to Christ, called me to go to the mission field to lead people to Christ. And I said, yes. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. It's a big step. 6 months later, my wife got pregnant, but she wasn't my wife. My girlfriend got pregnant. I went from, God, I'm going to trust you, to totally doing exactly the opposite of what God wanted to do. Another major time in my life when when we planted Skyline, big step of faith. We planted Skyline. God worked. People's lives were changed, and it's been incredible experience to watch this happen. And we were called to be a church in Bloomfield. It took us 16 years to get into Bloomfield. We finally got this campus. And we bought this campus, and we fixed up this one. We were fixing up the house. And then we were going to fix up the chapel, and it was incredible. And then the town goes, you can't fix up the chapel. I lost my faith. I can remember sitting down with Pete Ross and going, I blew it. We never should have bought this property. We never should have done this. And he goes, didn't we pray about this? I said, yes. Isn't this what God led us to do? I said, yes. He goes, well, then we're going to be okay. I said, Pete, it's not that simple. Right? How about you? How about you? Have you had times where you trusted God and then other times you're like, whoa, what's going on here? Well, God grows your faith by testing your faith. It works just like working out. How do you get stronger muscles? You push them. You make it, you walk into a situation, you lift weights that are heavier than what you can, and you lift them enough times to where it hurts like mad. I can't keep going. I can't go any further. And then you rest them. And then you work them again, and then you rest them. God does that exact same thing with you and with me. In testing our faith, God often brings us to the brink. This is super important. This is really, really important. In testing our faith, God often brings us to the brink. What do you mean? God can do the impossible. He calls us to do the impractical. He calls us to do something that, no, the only way this is going to work is if God shows up. The only way this is going to work is if God comes through. To put yourself, he calls you to put yourself in a position where the only way this is going to work is if God comes through. Men, he has called you to lead your families, to love your wife with your whole life, to give up your entire life to help your wife to succeed in her walk with Christ, for her to be able to blossom. And when you get engaged, it seems possible. And wedding night, it definitely seems possible. 3 years in, not so much. Wait a minute, do you know my wife? Do you know? No. I thought if I would love her, she would just love me back. It's going to be great. But you found out that no, you've got to sacrifice again and again and again. You have to do the impractical again and again and again. To the point that if God doesn't show up, you're going to look like a fool. You're going to look weak. You're going to look like you're wasting your life. Ladies, same thing. God has called you to give your life, to build up your husband. That is so impractical. The natural thing is to tear him down. He needs to see where he's failing. And God goes, no. Build him. That's impractical. Now listen, the reason that many of us have never seen God do the impossible is we won't stay in the impractical long enough. We won't stay there. We run in, we try a little bit, jump out. We run in, we try a little bit, we jump out. God wants to bring us, to build our faith, he brings us to the brink where, God, you've got to come through. The only way this is going to work is if you come through. Number three, confidence to risk from God. Risk for God comes from comprehending the commitment of God. Confidence to risk for God does not come from you. It doesn't come from inside you. This is really important. I hear people all the time talk about my faith, my faith, my faith. Biblical faith, godly faith, it's not your faith. It doesn't come from inside you. It comes from you coming to know the kind of faithfulness or the promise that God has made to you. It's about God's commitment to you. Just how committed is God to you? So we're going to jump in and take a look at this in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15:1 says this, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield, your very great reward." All right? So, Abram still doesn't have any children. I think he's now 90 years old. He still doesn't have any children. And God comes to him and goes, "Abram, I'm your shield, your very great reward." I bet you've experienced this at some point. If you've been around, in some way you've experienced this. You happen to show up for church, or somebody reads something to you, a verse or something to you, and it says, and the person says to you, "Listen, I want you to know that God is your shield and you can trust him." And you're like, "Do you know what's going on in my life? I don't need to hear that right now. What good does that do me? Look what's going on in my life. That's what happened to Abraham. So Abraham says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? What good is this shield thing if I don't have a child? What good is your promise if I don't have a child? So God says, okay, Abram, it must have been nighttime. Abram, he goes, Abram, I want you to come outside your tent. I want you to look at the stars. And I want you to know this. And he promises him this. He communicates super clearly to him. And Abraham knows this is God's voice. He knows what God's saying to him. He said, God, he says, Abraham, you see all the stars in the sky. As many stars as you see in the sky, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And Abraham had to make a choice. He's like, whoa, okay. I know my body's as good as dead. I know there's no way I'm ever going to have a child. And God has made me a promise. And so I got to choose which one I'm going to go with. And at that moment, he trusted God's word over what he felt. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and he credited it to him as righteousness. It's at this moment that Abraham became a believer, became someone who had a relationship with God, whereby God gives him his righteousness. In Romans, it talks about this is the moment it happened in Abraham's life. And sometimes people say, how did people get saved in the Old Testament? By faith, just like they do in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they trusted God's word and looked forward to what God was going to do. In the New Testament, we trust God's word and we look back at what Christ did on the cross. They look forward to the cross, we look back to the cross. At that moment, he trusts Christ. Pretty big, monumental piece in his life. And then right after it, Genesis 15:8, he says, Sovereign Lord, how can I know I will gain possession of it? Now listen, this is really important, guys. Many of you either grew up in church or you grew up in our culture, and they talk about faith like you're believing something blind. They talk about it like there's science and then there's the opposite of that is faith. That whole thing is a myth. It's a myth. Faith is based on God's revelation of himself to you. It's actually built on solid God saying, listen, this is who I am. Let me reveal to you who I am. Then he makes promises. And he says, okay, based on who I am, I'm asking you to trust me. I want to do the impossible. I'm calling you into the impractical. So Abraham gets to that place and he has this question, which really leads us to these two questions, which all of us have, which is number one, how can I trust God? Now, if you're here this morning and you do not trust God, you're like, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God, right? And you think that I or someone else is asking you to trust God. That's not the first step. The first step is revelation. Wait a minute, what does God say? Does it align with what's true? Does it align with what's factual? Then, what does God promise? Can I trust that promise? For many of you, you ask that question, how can I trust God? But for many of you, you also ask the second question, how can I trust me? I'm so unreliable. Abraham, at this point in his life, he can't even promise God he's going to trust him tomorrow. He's been so unreliable. What do we do with that? And God does this next. He says, we're going to make a covenant. And the way that they made covenants back then was that they would take animals, they would cut them in half, they would put One half the animal on this side, one half the animal on this side is like a ditch, right? And then the blood would run down to the middle of the ditch, and then both parties would walk through the animals, and they would get blood on their robe. And they would say, if I do not keep my promise, if I do not keep the covenant, may I be torn apart like these animals. May I pay with my blood. So God says to Abraham, I want you to go get me a bull, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. So he goes and gets them, and he brings them to them. They cut the two, and they lay them out. They're about ready to make the covenant, which, by the way, usually, if the covenant was between a king and a commoner, only the commoner would have to walk through because they just knew the king would keep the king would keep his word. This is the only recorded one in history where the king walks through. And look at this. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, a smoking pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Only the king walks through. And by making this statement, God says, if I break this covenant, I will pay for it with my blood. And Abraham, if you break this covenant, I will pay for it with my blood. Leap forward to Christ going to the cross. And Christ put himself on the cross. And his blood was shed. Was Christ on the cross because he broke the covenant? Did God break the covenant? Not at all. He lived a sinless, perfect life. It's why the world still uses his name, because of who he was. Then why did he go to the cross? Because I broke the covenant, and you broke the covenant. And so he paid with his blood. He entered into a new covenant. This is his promise to you. When we interact with our unfinished emotion, when we interact with the green card or the blue card, we often ask ourselves, but can I trust God? If God asked me to take this step, right? If God asked me to do something impractical, can I trust him that he's going to take care of me? But probably the bigger one is, wait a minute, if God asked me to do something impractical, what if I can't carry through? What if I can't do that? In Romans, under the new covenant, Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, came to this exact point. He actually came to the point in his life where he looked at himself, he knew who Christ was, he trusted Christ as his personal Savior, he'd been given Christ's righteousness, and he still continued to sin. He still continued. He couldn't believe that he would still continue to go against the God who'd given him so much. Listen to this. It says, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ. That he looked at himself and said, can I trust myself? And he said, even when I do wrong, the blood of Christ covers me. It's like these words. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Trust is built and it's earned. God has been, since the beginning of creation, acting in such a way to build your trust. Will you trust God to do the impossible when he calls you to do the impractical? As we talk about you interacting with these two cards, if your emotion is, I'm skeptical, that's fine. But please, don't actually interact with the two cards. Interact with what God has already done for you. Interact with the fact that God is promising you to, he wants to do the impossible in your life. Engage with that. Wrestle with that. Let God build your faith. Let him build you up. Why? Well, there's lots of reasons, but I think this is the biggest one. Men, when we are faced with life's difficulties, to us, it's very, very clear what we need is for God to change my wife, my kids, my job, my finances. And we're like, that would be impossible. God, I need you to change that. Ladies, same thing. I need you to change my husband, my kids, or I need a husband, or I need you to change my job, or I need you to change my family. That would be impossible. And you know what God says? No. I want to change you. I want to change you. I want to change you. That's what's impossible. And so he asks you to do the impractical, to change you and to grow your faith. Will you trust God to do the impossible when he calls you to do the impractical? I'd like you to meet the Lepleys.
I'm Joshua Lepley. This is my wife, Melissa Lepley. Y'all might know some of our kids, Porter, Reagan, and Marin. And we came to Skyline kind of by accident. We were new-ish to the area, living in Montclair. And so we tried other churches in the area, which none of them felt sticky. And then we moved over by the middle school, and I would walk up with Chung to get the train. And I walked by here one day, and I'm like, huh, Skyline, maybe we should go. And we looked it up on the, you know, to read and read about it, thought it sounded great, and came. And I think from the first day, everyone was like, we want to come back.
Oh, the kids especially, yeah. They ran out. They're like, we love it here. Why can't we come back? And Josh and I were like, oh.
Next week,
excellent.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to force them to go other places. We don't want to go. We don't want to go. And now Porter's like, we're going to be late. Let's go. Come on. So I serve on the production team, which is up on the balcony during service. So I'm a designer by day and night. When I felt like I needed to get connected in a ministry, that one isn't necessarily connected to what I do for a living, but I had some interest in that. It's a lot of fun to be in that.
That's been a blessing, too, because not only has he benefited from it, but Porter, our oldest, he is now serving in production, mm-hmm. And Reagan, has our second oldest, he sometimes goes up and...
He's interested, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Porter would just tag along. And then it got to the point where Izzy started to put him on the schedule as a team member. And mm-hmm. Porter was so excited when Izzy was like, you're officially part of the team now. And Porter's like, yeah. So definitely, it's definitely been great because it's, you know, connected my kids too.
I think we choose to give him to Skyline primarily because we see the benefits of it. We can see how our lives have grown and been blessed in the last 5 or so years. And we have seen some of the impact of Skyline and what happens here. Painting faces, the trunk or treat, you know, Easter egg hunt. And recently I've seen Marin's soccer coach, who I told him about Skyline over in the spring, he started coming. So I was super excited to see him, and it was just like an answer to prayer. He knows Clutchy and Katie, so that was super exciting. So we see the benefits in our own lives, and we want to keep contributing to that.
For me too, like, tithing was something that I learned. I really, like, really truly learned the benefits of it years ago before I was even married. But being here and being part of this community and seeing all the good that comes from here, like, I said this during a gathering that we had, that there's some places that do a lot of talking, but here, like, you're actually doing, you know? So you talk, but you actually follow it up with action. And for us, I want to contribute to a community that does that. I want to help support that.
I am challenged with being unfinished in my generosity because I still get held back by the flesh thoughts. Like, oh, I don't have as much in my checking account right now. Can I afford to give this person 20 extra bucks for, you know, whatever? So I'm still, I get kind of stuck on that. And it'd be great to kind of fully trust God in that area. Time is big.
Time's a big one.
For Josh.
It's, well, I mean, as, you know, as the income provider for the household, it's like I feel, you know, constantly obligated to, and I like what I do too. So there's that, but
love.
Yeah, love what I do. And so I don't say no. And oftentimes I get pretty bogged down with work, and that's then taking away extra time that I can do things with my family or, you know, for Skyline or.
Yeah.
Time is like a really precious resource.
Okay. Something that's super cool about Unfinished is thinking that the church is going to be debt free. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And in our culture nowadays, hardly anybody thinks that way.
I think it's a really big, I mean, imagining what the church can do with its resources when it's not paying, like making a payment to a bank, can go a long, long way. How am I being challenged by God in generosity is like the resources that I think of, like time and money, right? And both of those, you get stretched. Because there's only so much time in a week, and then there's only so much money in a paycheck, right? And so it's really a stretch of, like, of faith. I was thinking about that this morning based on the sermon that PC did, thinking about those areas that oftentimes, like, I try to think, I can't do that, or, you know, I try to plan, and I try to succeed, and I try to, but really you need to, like, let go of that and trust more. And that's something that I know I need to do better at, more trust.
I know when I'm more generous with my giving, my heart's more full.
Your answer was better. I'm Josh, and I am definitely unfinished.
I am Melissa, and I am unfinished.
So as we ask this question, you know, can I trust God to do the impossible when he asked me to do the impractical? We've got these prayer cards right here in front of you, if you would. Pull those out. How can we pray for you about that? Maybe it's just that line, right? But how can we pray for you about that? So I encourage you to pull that out. We're going to take about a minute. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to have a little bit of time for you to be able to interact and continue in that prayer. And then after we dismiss and leave, we'll have the prayer wall in the back and be able to hang those up as well. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, amazing that you would not only keep your promise, but that you would give your life so that we can be given your righteousness. You would not only make a covenant with us, but you'd make a covenant with us where you promise to keep both sides of the covenant. And then you build our faith. And Lord, right now, as we walk our way through unfinished, we ask you, build our faith to believe you. That with the specific things that you're calling people to, that you would do the impossible. While you call us to do the impractical. Lord, give us courage, give us strength. Help us to see this time period, this unfinished series as a time for us to really walk into this, to step into this and find out, will you keep your word? Will you do the impossible? I pray for each person as they interact. I'm sure for most people today, as we talked about the impractical, what you laid on people's hearts, what you urged people to do has nothing to do with the cards. It's something else. Lord, I pray for them to right now when we go into this prayer time to be able to talk to you about this, to be honest with you about it. And then to practice unfinished surrender, unfinished faith. To walk into the impractical, to take the step you're asking them to take so their faith can grow. We know you always keep your word. And I look forward to what happens in each person's life as they trust you in a new way. As we walk through this workout together. In your name we pray. Amen.